time, as Peter tells us, we're going to be surrounded by scoffers who refuse to believe the truth of God's word. God's word is truth, and we must pay attention to it and take it seriously and literally. Verse 1 again. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of, there's that word, reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers died or fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The other day we're having lunch, me and a couple of my Christian buddies, and this guy walks by, and I forget how the conversation started, but I said something about the return of the Lord, and he just looked at me and scoffed. And I said, you know what, dude? You just fulfilled scripture. The Bible says that there will be people just like you in the last days that will be scoffing and mocking. Oh, where's his return? And it gives me goosebumps, just, or sheep bumps, just thinking about it. You know, there are scoffers out there, mockers. Oh, you Christians are out of your mind. Yes, we are. I'm so grateful that I have a new mind and a new heart and a new home. And so, beloved, is agapetos, one who is esteemed dear. And that's a term that's used for you and I as believers. You are dear to the heart of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful term, beloved? You are beloved of God. He says, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder that you may be mindful. And Peter's saying, hello? Anybody home? Anybody listening? We have a sense of urgency here. Why? Because it's so easy for believers to become accustomed to God's truth. What do I mean? Oftentimes I'm reminded myself, I can be overly familiar with scripture verses. I can quote them and I can read them, and I'm so overly familiar with them, they don't resonate within my heart at times. You ever had that happen? We have to be very, very careful not to become overly familiar with God's word or accustomed to God's truth. And that's why Peter is so adamant here to remind us, because he knows as well. We can even become overly familiar with God's word. Oh, yeah, I know. I get people in for counseling at times, and I try to counsel them with God's word, and it's like, oh, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard that before. And so I'm thinking, what are you doing here? You're wasting my time, and you're wasting your own time by being here. Be a doer of God's word. You need to obey what God's word says. You know, oh, yeah, I know. I had somebody walk out one time because I said that. But if you know what God's word says, why are you here? And too often we take God's word for granted. We can become complacent. We have head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. The church needs to be stirred up occasionally. The church needs to wake up. The church is being lulled to sleep in America. And a lot of times people think, well, that COVID thing was a bad thing in America. But you know, in a lot of ways, it was a good thing. It's waking people up. Yeah, that, I believe it's one of the first contractions that the Bible talks about, birth pangs. Why? Because Jesus in Matthew 24, you can read it, says, just before his return, there will be pestilence. You know what pestilence is? Incurable disease. It's not bugs. Some people see the word pest and pestilence and think it's bugs. No. It's incurable diseases. And there's going to be another contraction and another, and they will get closer together and more intense. There will be famines. Do you know that two-thirds of the world goes to bed hungry every night? And our pets are obese in America. How sad. It also says that there will be earthquakes in diverse places. Google California earthquakes when you get a chance. There's anywhere from 800 to almost 2,000 every week, depending upon how many shakers there are. That's amazing. I don't like earthquakes. But I know the Lord looks beyond my faults and sees my needs, as the old hymn says. The church needs to be stirred up. We need to be reminded regularly, and that's why we go through God's Word like we do. Every verse, every chapter is given by the inspiration of God, and we need it. You know, with what's been going on in America and throughout the world over the last year, I have been coming up with topical studies to try to touch on where the world is. It is amazing how we're just going through God's Word, and it just seems to be so timely every single week, especially now with the return of the Lord here. We need to be mindful. We need to pay attention. We need to take this book seriously. The Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. Mindful means to fix your mind upon, to grasp it mentally. And it's more than just grasping it mentally. It's that we would deeply root God's Word within our hearts. That's why Jesus told the parable of the sower and the seed. He compared our hearts to a garden. And sometimes the soil can get hard and the seed can't penetrate. And sometimes there's rocks and sometimes there's weeds. We need to do gardening within our own hearts so that when God's Word comes into our mind, it goes into our hearts and gets in good, rich soil so that we can bear much fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. And I think it's so important that we take this seriously. New believers must be discipled and taught the Word and be established in the doctrines of the faith. It is so important. We have a new believers class here. It is so important. If you're a new believer, become part of it. You need to get the basic foundations laid within your life of what it means to be a Christian. And that was one of the things Tina and I are so grateful for. We first got saved. We were in two new believers classes, one in a home fellowship and one in our own church. And it gave us the foundation that we needed. We needed to know that we need fellowship. We needed to know we need to pray. We needed to know we need to spend time in the Word. We needed to know that we need to go to church. And that's what's kept us on track for almost 40 years now. For the older believers, they must be continually reminded of the importance of biblical doctrine. And again, we can become complacent. It can become just a ho-hum, especially the doctrines that point to the return of Jesus Christ. Like never before, we're there. We're 2,000 years closer from when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. This was spoken of, he says, by the prophets and the apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The holy prophets and apostles testified that in the last days there would be scoffers. Would you say that's true today? They're trying to ban the Bible in America. They're very close to banning the Bible in Canada right now. They say it's hate literature. This incredible book with 30,000 precious promises to you and I, they say is hate literature. Why? Because it goes against their lifestyle. We have legalized sin in America in many areas. And they think that us religious people are stepping on their toes. We're being unloving. I'm so grateful for a Lord and Savior that loves me so much, He exposed all of my sin to save my soul from damnation and hell. That's what love is. Being unloving is when you allow a person to continue on in that which is going to destroy them. And we got people all around us that are being destroyed by their sin. The wages of sin is still death. The holy prophets and the apostles testified in the last days would be scoffers, mockers, arrogant blasphemers, walking according to their own lusts, it says in verse 4. They were scoffing. They were mocking about God's final judgment on earth. Last week we saw they did the same thing in the days of Noah, didn't they? Oh, look at that nut, Noah, building a boat and it's never rained before. And he preached 120 years. And guess what? Only 8 people got on board. God says what he means and means what he says. And God gave them a 120-year warning. Can you imagine that? Scoffing and mocking the end of the world. And when we talk about the end of the world, they call us doom and gloom. Don't they? Oh, you Christians are all doom and gloom. No. The end of the time is running down. The clock is ticking. The end of the world is coming because God's Word says so. The fiery destruction of the heavens and the earth are coming. When anybody ever asks me, do you believe in global warming? I go, absolutely. It's coming. I believe with all of my heart about global warming, and I'm grateful I'm not going to be here for it. But we got a well-known man, I'm not going to name his name, that's going to try to block the sun because of global warming. My concern is they're blocking the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. That's the enemy's plan today. Fiery destruction's coming. But Jesus came to save us from the fire. Oh, you doom and gloom people are all the same. And like we see here this morning, oh, you've been saying that for years. Come on. Since our ancestor died, everything is the same as it was since creation. You really believe that? Oh, really? And I tell people, read the Bible. Read the manufacturer's handbook. There were scoffers in Noah's day. There were scoffers in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I find it interesting that if your lifestyle contradicts the Word of God, they're going to mock you for it. Yeah. Either change your lifestyle in obedience to God's Word or change the Word of God to fit your lifestyle. That's the choice that people have today. We here this morning are seeking to walk in obedience to God's Word and change our lifestyle in obedience to what His Word says. When there are many people today that try to change the Word of God to fit their lifestyle. The scoffers chose to try to change God's Word to fit their lifestyle. And guess what? They're doing the same thing today. And as I mentioned last week, when I teach some of the hard stuff in Scripture about sin, people think it's Pastor Joe that's unloving and unkind and ungraceful and ungracious and all. But you know, I'm just the mailman. I'm just telling you what God says. So if you're going to call somebody a homophobe, you're calling God a homophobe because this is His Word. And He says, fornicators and liars and cheaters and homosexuals shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Read it for yourself. And the reason I share God's Word in love is because I don't want, like God's heart, I don't want anybody to perish. I'd like to see everybody in heaven. And it's so important in the days in which we live to stand on the truth of God's Word. Bottom line, the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, 8. It never changes. Old Testament, Malachi 3, 6. He says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. And so we can stand on God's Word, can't we, like never before. Verse 5. For this they willfully forget that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for global warming. Oh, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And today, many of the scoffers and mockers are found in our educational system. Yes, they're teaching our children, beginning in kindergarten, perverted lifestyles and perverted behavior. Shame on them. Professors, teachers, teaching our children evolution. Are you kidding me? I am not a monkey's uncle. Big Bang Theory. Really? You really believe in the Big Bang Theory? I did a tour in Vietnam and I never saw a Big Bang create anything. It destroyed everything. Denying the very fact, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The term is bara. He took something that did not exist and He made something out of it. And it also goes on to say He created them male and female, two genders. In the image of God, meaning that man is to be a reflection of God. And look what we've done. God created them by His word. God spoke 9 times in Genesis chapter 1. Let there be, let there be, let there be. God spoke everything into existence. And not only was creation made by the word of God, it is also held together right now by the word of God, Peter says. So you tell me, how important is the Word of God? My Bible tells me that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ became incarnate. The Word of God came and dwelt among us. All things were created of Him and by Him and through Him. And He loved us so much He came into this world to save us and to be mocked and brutalized and beaten and nailed to a cross for your sin and for my sin. And I'm thinking, driving here this morning with my wife Tina, I'm just always thinking about stuff, about being embraced by Jesus Christ when I get to heaven. You know what's going to happen? He's going to embrace you and I with those nail prints. And we are going to be held close to His side that was pierced for you and for me. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like, to see those nail prints for me and for you. Man, oh man. What a glorious day it's going to be, though. And He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest." Oh. It's going to be rest like we've never experienced before. Anybody here tired? Seems everybody's tired lately, you know, burned out and wiped out. And we're going to enter into His rest and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so since God created it, since God holds it together, it's His world. And He can do whatever He chooses with it. And He wants to take us out of this sinful, fallen world and bring us into a new heaven and earth one day, where righteousness dwells. Be it rain from heaven or fire from heaven, God can choose to do as He pleases. And how sad it is that the judgment came the first time with water, right? Remember the rainbow, the covenant? Look what's been done to the rainbow. When I first got saved 40 years ago, it was cool for Christians. They had stickers with a rainbow on it in a scripture verse. And look what's happened now. People think quite the opposite when you have a rainbow on your car or when you see a rainbow anymore. They perverted the Word of God. Again, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Wow. Even today, we live in what is known as the nuclear age, where we can split an atom and it can result in a fire release of enormous energy. And by the way, pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because their neighbors now have missiles that can deliver nuclear warheads. So you tell me how close we are. And Netanyahu's talking about rebuilding the Third Temple. We're looking at the Soviet Union, Magog coming from the north, China and all. We are this close to the return of Jesus Christ, folks, like never before. They want to blow Israel right off the map, and that's exactly what Scripture says. The world has this tremendous explosive potential. And if God's restraining hand is removed, the elements would melt. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Reserved for ungodly men, fire. I don't want anybody to burn. That's why I deliver the mail. That's why I give the truth of God's word. Yesterday, we had a memorial service. It was incredible. Half of the congregation that was here stood up and prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I have never seen that happen in all of the years of ministry. Never. It blew me away. And isn't it amazing how the loss of one life was used to save many? Yeah, Jesus is coming soon. What a harvest, man. And we don't count numbers and stuff, but it just blows me away. Because oftentimes, you know, there are pastors that don't give altar calls anymore. Oh, nobody ever stands up. That's not up to me. That's up to the person of the Holy Spirit. And the day that the Holy Spirit grabbed my heart, nobody could have kept me in that chair. I sprung up like there was a leaf spring under me. And it's the only race I ever won in my life, to the front of the altar to give my life to Jesus Christ. But the word's got to go out through the power of the Holy Spirit. People need to hear the truth of God's word. We're getting close. We're getting towards the end. And eventually, for ungodly men, fire. Verse 8. But beloved, whew, I love that word again. Thank you, Lord. Right after the fire and judgment and perdition of ungodly men, and he talks to us again. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. And again, don't forget. Remember, be reminded that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. And when these people say, oh, he's been doing this for years, God doesn't have a Timex. He doesn't have a clock. A day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is his day. So to God, what's the Lord been gone? 2 days or 2,000 years? But the wonderful news is that he has given us more time for more people to be saved. And if you had come any sooner, I wouldn't have been saved. And many of us in this room wouldn't be saved. And so again, speaking to God's beloved, he says, don't forget. Remember this, that God is outside of time. And one day we're going to be outside of time. Amazing, isn't it? And again, we try to think about, oftentimes, this body. How old are we going to be in heaven? I don't know. We're going to be kids? We're going to be adults? Who knows? But I do know this, we're going to be outside of time. No more wrinkles, folks. No more aging. Wow, how cool is that? God controls everything. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. One day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. God is above time. He's not concerned with time. God dwells in eternity, and so will we one day. God's patient. He's not delaying his judgment. He's purposely extending time so that people can be saved. Amazing. He's extending his time of grace. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. And I've shared that recently, how that one word repentance is so taken out of context because it's often misused. It does not have to be screamed. Repent. It's a term of endearment that God says to people that are in sin, change direction, turn to me, repent. Turn to me, I want to save your soul. I want to give you everlasting life. I want to love you. I want to forgive you. And cast your sins as far as the east is from the west and remember them no more. And so it's a word that does not have to be screamed out at people. Have you noticed that the minute you scream at your kids, you lose them? They just tune you right out. And it's the same thing with adults. You begin to scream the word of God at them, they tune you right out. They're more concerned looking at the veins popping out of your neck than they are the words coming off of your lips. I don't have to scream this word. My Bible tells me that God's word never returns void. Never, never, ever. And it always accomplishes the purpose that it's set forth to do. It doesn't have to be screamed. I am a preacher, not a screecher. And there's a difference there. And so here we see, don't we? He's not delaying his judgment. He's just extending his time of grace to people. He waited 120 years for Noah. He waited approximately 6,000 years before judging the world with fire. But it's coming, and it's close. Very close. Look at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will. Now, here we find the word will 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. And many times I encourage you, when you're reading the Word of God and you see a word repeat itself, take notice. And he uses the word will 7 times between verse 10 and verse 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, when God says will, do you really think it will? I know it will. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I'm sure glad he put verse 13 in there. Oh, man. If God says it will, it will. He doesn't say might. Anybody's Bible say might? Or maybe? No, will. When God says will, you need to pay attention. You can be guaranteed it will. Because God never breaks a promise. 8 times we find the word will. Scoffers were saying it won't. God says it will. So who do you suppose is going to win out? Who are you going to believe? And you know what's really sad, folks? Some people would much rather believe the scoffers. It won't. They've been saying that since our fathers fell asleep. Yeah. And the Bible says that that's what they're going to say just before the return of the Lord. He will. Will. Scoffers, won't. And how sad it is, there are many standing in pulpits today that won't preach this message. Shame on you. Get out of the pulpit, dude. People need to be warned. This is coming. And Jesus Christ loves you enough to warn you in advance, beloved. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How does a thief in the night come? Unexpectedly. No clue. Meaning, no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows when the Lord's going to return. He's going to come unexpectedly. The heavens will pass away with great noise. I can't even imagine. When God says great, it's great, folks. Great noise. The elements will be dissolved with a fervent heat. The works that are in it will be burned up. Since these things will be burned up, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And you know, the fire should not be what puts fear in our heart. You know, when God tells us to do something, it's for our own good, isn't it? When he lays something out in Scripture that has to do with obedience to him, it's for your own good and my own good. It's to keep us from harm. It's to keep us from death. It's so that we can enjoy the blessings of God. He's not just bringing down the hammer on us. He's not a God of hatred. He's a God that loves you and I so much, he warns us. When you love somebody, you warn them and you tell them, this is what's going to happen. Man, oh man. And so what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? And again, it's not because of the fire coming. That's a good enough reason, but you know what? I think the reason that we should live holy lives and godly lives is because of the incredible love that Jesus Christ has for you and for me. Look what he did for you and I to keep us from burning in hell. And in giving thanks back to him, we need to do it by obeying him and loving him and being obedient to him. It's not a legalism thing. It's a love thing. If your relationship with God is a legalistic thing, you're on the wrong track. It's a loving relationship. And my Bible tells me it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. And sometimes I blow it so bad, Lord, you need to whack me good. And sometimes he'll bless me. And it blows me away because he loves me. It's like, wow. And that's the God that we serve. And so what manner of persons ought we to be? Holy. It's not a suggestion. How many messages have you heard lately on holiness? Turn on the TV, it's all about prosperity. Where's the holiness? We're called to be holy. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. God says, you be holy as I'm holy. And to be godly, looking for and hastening, meaning the coming of the day of God, where the heavens will be dissolved and the elements will melt Nevertheless, he tells us in verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Is that what you're looking for today? Are you looking for the new heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells? And again, stop and ponder that sometime when you're meditating on the Word of God. What is it going to be like to live in a perfect environment where nothing but righteousness dwells? No more sin, no more grief, no more sorrow, not one bad word. I mean, it's going to be absolutely incredible. Not one even bad thought. My biggest battle is in my mind sometimes, some of my thoughts. Never have to think a bad thought again, ever. Wow. That must mean there's no driving in heaven. No more dirty thoughts. That means there's no TV commercials in heaven. Can you believe where we've gone with just the television commercials? I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I'm telling you, man, it is absolute filth and perversion. I'll move on from that one. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Man, does it get any better than that? But you know what? When we see in verse 14, the therefore, what is it therefore? It points back to what we've just read, right? So look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, there's that word beloved again. Again, a reminder. Looking forward to these times, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, of which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Wow. So in verse 14, the therefore, and I always encourage you, when you read that word therefore, ask what it's there for. And what it does is points back to that which was previously said. And it points back to the old heaven and earth and the new heaven and earth. And that's what we have to look forward to. You know, the old heaven and earth is going to be dissolved, being on fire. The new heaven and earth is filled with righteousness. That's where we're going to dwell, in righteousness forever and ever and ever and ever. In verse 14 and 15, these truths about the new heaven and new earth, as well as deliverance from the fire, should cause us with thanksgiving in our hearts to live holy and godly lives without spot or blemish. And he gives us the ability to live godly lives without spot or blemish. Why? Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. We can be spotless 24/7 if we choose to do so. The minute we sin, we can be cleansed and forgiven and washed from all of our sin and cleansed from all of our unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no reason to walk around like Pigpen on Charlie Brown. We can get rid of the filth in our lives. And Jesus' long-suffering in verse 15 is to give us all of us, the opportunity to be saved. Long-suffering. And he is long-suffering. And he is patient. I'm blown away, and I'm sure many of you are as well. Can you believe how long-suffering Jesus Christ has been since Roe versus Wade? Millions and millions and millions and millions of babies aborted. You tell me that's not long-suffering. And God is long-suffering to give people the opportunity to repent of their sins and to be saved. With the continued increase of all wickedness. Sometimes I wonder, how long, O Lord? How long? Verse 16, and in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Wow. Paul, Peter says, taught in his epistles, things which people would twist to their own destruction. That's another problem with false teachers and false prophets today. They twist the word of God. I call them twistians. They twist God's word for their own destruction. God has many, 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 many warnings in his word about those that would tamper with his word. It is a dangerous thing to tamper with the word of God. It's his word. And you know what happens when someone tampers, these twistians tamper with God's word? It's defamation of character. They're misrepresenting who holy God truly and really is. And that's a dangerous place to be. Twisting it to their own destruction. You've heard me say a million times that not many, Paul told Timothy, not many should preach the word because you will receive a stricter judgment. And that's why it's so important. Stay true to God's word, period. We don't have to, you know, add to it. We don't have to take away. But, you know, with Bible teaching, with pastors, we give the observation, the interpretation, and the application. That's all we do. We don't twist it to their own destruction. And so we as Christians, as the beloved of God, look at verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Be careful. He's saying be on guard. And the best way to know the counterfeit is to know the truth. If you spend time in God's word, when the counterfeit comes along, it's going to stand out like a sore thumb. And how often have you had a television program on where someone is a pastor, teacher, evangelist, and you go, wait a minute, dude, that's not what my Bible says. We need to know what God's word says. And when you know what God's word says, when the counterfeit comes along, it's going to stand out, man, and you're going to go, false prophet, man. We need to be on guard like never before. And you know what? Even in America today, that has to do with Bible translations. You know, there are some Bible translations out there that are right out of the pit of hell. They are not the inspired word of God. Some are transliterations. They're not translations. And I think it's so important. There's one called The Message. It's not a message, it's a mess. It's not the inspired word of God. Someone gave me one time, I went to some outreach somewhere, and they gave me one, I threw it right in the trash can because it's not the inspired word of God. You need to get a godly translation, New King James, Old King James. Excellent. Closest to the interpretation of the Old Testament scriptures. And so there we are. And there will always be, until the Lord's return, false teachers and false prophets, scoffers, mockers, those who twist and pervert the Holy Scriptures, who will try to deceive many. And there's many deceivers out there trying to draw people in by their wickedness and causing them to lose their spiritual balance. We need to know God's word, stand on God's word, stay faithful. Stay true to the word of God. Last verse. Wow, I finished right on time this morning. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. How do we grow? I'm glad you asked. John 15, Jesus says, abide in me and my word in you, and you will bear much fruit. You need to be plugged into Jesus Christ. You need to be plugged into his word. And when that happens, man, the Holy Spirit flows in your life and you will bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. It's up to you to grow. One time I did a message on that and it was entitled, Let's Get Growing. Church, let's get growing. Let's get moving here. Let's get into God's word because we're getting close to the finish line. I know, I always say, don't buy green bananas. If you're expecting the Lord to return today, you're not going to buy green bananas because you won't get to see them ripe. But we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Right here. Grow in his grace, grow in his knowledge. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. As we close, again, where do you stand? Are you saved? When we saw here four or five times in this text, beloved of God, beloved of God, beloved of God, are you beloved of God? Meaning, are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? If you are not sure, or if you are not, today is the day of salvation. This is real stuff. Judgment is coming. The fire is coming. And we are to pluck people from the fire, the Bible says. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Don't push him away. He loves you. He wants the best for you, and he wants to spend eternity in heaven with you forever and ever. Anyone, as we close, do you know that you know? Oftentimes I get asked to give an altar call for those watching on live stream. So we're going to do that for those on live stream here this morning. I don't know who's watching, but if there's anyone watching that wants to pray to receive Jesus Christ, pray this prayer with me. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and for rising again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption as I give my life to you, and I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anybody on live stream prayed that, let somebody know. Tell somebody they're with you, or let us know. Call a church office. We'd love to send you a Bible, whatever we can do to get you on the right track, and maybe even plug you into our New Believers class. So, as we close, let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the warning this morning, that you warn us of that which is to come. And we do thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has saved us from eternal destruction and from the lake of fire, from the pit of hell. We thank you that we have a future and a hope. We thank you, Lord, that we are going to live in heaven forever and ever and ever, where righteousness dwells because of what you have done for us, Jesus. So as we leave this place today, I pray that we'll recognize and realize that we are in a mission field. And everywhere we would go, that we would be sensitive to lost people. That we would sense the urgency. And when the door is open to share the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would do that. At the same time, may we remember what your Holy Scriptures say. May we spend time reading the Word of God and hiding your Word in our heart, that we not sin against you. So help us, Lord, to be mindful of these things 24/7 and to be reminded over and over and over as we read your word and come to church and do our devotions, Lord, and that we would sense the soon return of our King. May we be watching and waiting and witnessing and working, knowing one day we shall see you face to face, and what a glorious day that will be. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand one more time.
Let's sing "Here I Am to Worship."